Numbers chapter 11. I like the Old Testament. Exodus and Numbers. We go Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the first five books in the New Testament. That's commonly known as the Torah. Numbers chapter 11. And while you have a moment, as you're going there, turn to your neighbor and say, "Thank you for not talking during the sermon." Because we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss anything the Lord has for us, do we? Numbers chapter 11. It's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we go through the first nine verses, and it says, "Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out." So the name of that place called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, yum, and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, yum. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look except this manna. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of pale yellow. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it, and it taste was the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this day. Give us the heart of learning, and give me the heart of teaching. Let us receive this word that we may be changed by it, that we may be closer to your Son because of it. And if there's anyone listening to this message that does not know you personally through Christ, your Son, let this word be impactful to that person's salvation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So what's happening? Moses is out there. The people of Israel out there. They have come from Egypt. What was going on in Egypt? Well, they were coming out of bondage. Slavery. They were told what to do, when to do it, where to do it. And they were building mortar for the Egyptians. So they were coming out of a good place, a place that there was bondage, but the good place was freedom. Now, not all things that are good for us are necessarily going to look like that at the beginning. They were free from bondage, and they were on their way to the promised land. But there was something bad happening to these people, these Israelites, that God had taken from Egypt and take them out of bondage and slavery, and He's going to bring them out of slavery, and He's going to take them to the promised land. But something's going on here. Well, it says in verse 1, "Now the people became like those who," what?
Complain.
My. Do you know anybody that's complained in your life? Are you around complainers? You may be one. And he said, "The people became like those who complain of adversity." Man, if you have been around long enough, you're going to have adversity in life, aren't you? No question about it. Adversity is what life is. There are trials and there are tribulations, there are hurdles, there are potholes in life. We cannot avoid any of those things just because we say, "Hey, we're Christian, we serve God." Hey, your adversities may get even more intense because you're a Christian.
Wow.
doesn't mean that all the storms and adversities are going to go away. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you're going to live a life free of adversity. Never. And so these people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, what happened to the Lord? What did it make him do? Complaining made God angry. Wow. I mean, if you've been around complainers, they get on your nerves pretty quick. Because you want to say, hey man, I got a lot of stuff to complain about too, but you're complaining about the weather, you're complaining about your finances, you're complaining about your mother, you're complaining about your family, you're complaining about where you live, where you don't live, your clothes, your no clothes, and it's like, wow man, chill out. I don't know of anybody that likes to be around complainers. It'll drain you. It's depressing. But these people, the Israelites, oh man, they were just out of the bondage of Egypt, and they're coming out of the slavery of all that, and now they got room to complain. Now, why are they complaining when God is taking care of them? Maybe not like they want to be taken care of. Maybe not like they think they should be taken care of. But nevertheless, God's anger was kindled and the fire of the Lord burned. Now, you think God is serious about getting a message across to these people?
Yes.
I mean, He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He chastens the ones He loves, doesn't He? Like a father would chasten his children. But God wants to make a statement here about these complainers. It hurt his heart. It made him angry that these Israelites that he brought from slavery are now out being free and they've got something to complain about. Wait a minute. Did they lose track of what God had done for them by setting them out of Egypt, out of that bondage and slavery into the free land? I mean, is our attention span that short? Because you're going to have adversity and some days you're going to feel like complaining for sure. But we need to stop. We need to think about what God has done through His Son Christ, how He has set us free from the law of sin and death, the law that condemned us. He has given us grace and mercy. And if we start to complain, no matter where your circumstances are, we need to think about those things. Because, you know, there's people dying and going to hell for eternity today. And you may not be that person, but you may have that ticket to heaven. You may have that ticket to heaven, and you may have eternal life, and that's something to rejoice about no matter where you are. And it may be difficult for you at times. Sure, we're human.
Yeah.
Of course. And so the Lord burned among them, and what did He do? He didn't just have the fire on the outskirts of camp. What did He do? He consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. He started consuming some folks. Take that. Forget about that. God's serious. Hey, I can imagine in the camp they're going, hey man, you better get straight. You better not complain because He's zapping some people out in the camp.
Wow.
I'd say to my friend, don't complain, man. God's meaning business. He's making a statement. He's zapping some people in the outskirts of camp, and if we continue, maybe He's going to come in closer. God does that, doesn't He? He wants to show us something. And the people, therefore, well, they got that right. The people, therefore, cried out to Moses. Finally, they were going, I think, okay. You know, Moses is our leader. He was chosen by God to lead us out of the wilderness and into the promised land and lead us out of Egypt, the slavery and all that. And the people cried out to Moses in verse 2. And Moses did what good leaders will do, a good shepherd will do. He prayed to the Lord. I'm sure he was saying, Lord, I'm sorry about these folks. These folks, I don't know what's going on with these people. I don't know why they're complaining, God, but have mercy on them right now. Has God shown mercy in your life when you didn't deserve mercy? Oh my.
Yes.
I mean, if we got what we deserve because of our sinful condition and our sinful behaviors and our sinful actions and some of the things we've done in our life, we wouldn't be here. If we got what we deserve, we'd all go to hell for eternity. And God's showing mercy to these people, even though they're complaining, even though He's zapped a few on the outskirts of camp. The shepherd Moses is going like, oh Lord, these people are driving me crazy, but you know, have mercy on them. Will you do that? Well, that's a good shepherd, pleading for his flock. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to pray.
It's good to pray.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, it's good to pray when you don't feel like praying too. Those are the best kind usually sometime, aren't they? You start off kind of rough. I don't feel like it. I got a lot on my mind, but you know, Lord, help me. Thank you for my son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that. And then all of a sudden, the Lord, He'll honor that. And He'll get you going and help you with that, doesn't He? The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. Good. Thank you, God. You're not going to zap anybody. You know, you're saying, okay, I hear your prayers, Moses, and I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm going to chill the fire down. Good. I'm sure the people in the camp are going, oh, thank you, Moses. Because I was the one that was complaining too. I was complaining, and I saw these people being zapped on the outskirts of camp. And so the name of that place we called Tabara, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. God just wanted to let them know that, hey, I'm with you. And He showed it in a fire out there. That God is with us, and He chose to use a fire to say, hey, I'm with you all the time. I was with you when I led you out of Egypt, the bondage of slavery. And some of us that have been saved in here, we've been led out of the bondage of slavery to sin. One time you were a slave to sin when you didn't know Christ. You are a slave to sin. You are obligated to sin. Some people say, well, you were good at it. Christians still sin, don't they?
Yes,
they do. Or am I the only one?
No.
Okay. But our attitude about it is that we're grieved by it. It doesn't identify us. When you were before Christ, that was the player, man. That was the rule. Sinning was the rule. That was the way it was. But now you don't want to. And when you do, it grieves you. Because you live in the Spirit, hopefully. In verse 4 it says, the rabble, that was the mixture, what, they were not Israelites, they were the mixture. The rabble who were among them had what?
Strong cravings.
Uh-oh. The people that came out of Egypt with the Israelites, they were not Israelites, they were some mixed in people in there. They were the rabble, they were not Israelites, they were among them. And some translations say they had greedy desires. Alright, they're complaining, they're mixing in with God's children. And you know what? If you mix around long enough outside of God's children's, you know, the friends you got are Christians, and you start mixing yourself with the rabble, that's a dangerous place. You may have people calling you up that are not Christians, that are the rabble, that want something for you, or, hey, come on, where you been? Hadn't seen you. You know where my crib is? You know my zip code? What's up? I haven't been a Christian all my life. Makes a big difference. And so, you know, they had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, okay, they're weeping. What are they weeping at in verse 4? They said, who will give us meat to eat? Okay, they're complaining. They're getting manna. They're getting manna from heaven. God's taking care of them. They're getting manna every day. Every day when the dew falls at night, they wake up and their food is there. But you know what? They missed the spicy, tasty food of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a human way of looking at it. I mean, they missed the garlic and the spice and all the good stuff that they were not getting. And so it's easy when you've gotten something and you lose something to complain. Sure.
human nature.
Well, I had all that. I had all that good food, man. It was good. It was spicy. It was cucumbers. It was melons. It was all that stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm out here in the desert eating this manna that looks the same every day. I'm tired of it. It's filling me. It's taking care of me. It nourishes my body, but it ain't no fun.
Eating manna is not no fun. Eating a cucumber is good. Eating an apple is good. Having some spicy rice is good. But I'm not getting that out here. And we remember, they said, give us a meat. Meat.
That's all they were thinking about is what was in their stomach.
Wow.
I mean, they just came out of the bondage of slavery. God had rescued them from the bondage of slavery. And they're thinking about meat. What should they be thinking about? Amen. Thank you, God, for whatever you got in front of me right now. Whatever it is, whether it's manna or meat or whatever you choose to do, you have brought me from slavery. You have taken me out of that bondage. I no longer have to break my back and lay mortar for the Egyptians.
Wow.
Even though I was getting some good food. Even the poor people of Egypt and slaves were getting fed well. And you know what? You can go out there and straddle that fence out there in the world and do pretty good to satisfy you. It'll satisfy you short term. You can go back to the spicy food if you want to. But you're going to go back to the bondage of sin. It's going to wrap you up. You're going to have to trade off. You're going to have to sell out. Sure. Spiritually speaking, this is a powerful passage. We remember the fish. Yes. I go like this. When I read that, I go, yeah, I like fish, man. Which we used to eat free in Egypt. Wait a minute. You are not free? That is crazy. Oh, we used to eat fish when we were free in Egypt. You are in bondage. You were going where they told you to go. You were working where they told you to work. You were doing everything the Egyptians said do. You were not free.
Right.
Some of you are not free here, as you sit today in this congregation. You're still under the law which condemns you. You have not been set out of Egypt yet. And some of you have been set free out of Egypt, and you're thinking about going back because you got some spicy food back there. You got some good stuff. It's good sometimes to think about your old ways, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll pop up. If you've been a Christian long enough, the mind starts thinking about, I can lose my Christianity for a weekend, can't I, Lord? Come on now, y'all got to be real. And they're thinking about going back to where they were in bondage, and they're saying they were free. You may have thought before you were a Christian you were free to do anything you want, but the only thing the Bible says you were free to do is to sin. These people, man, they're going like, I was free. No, you were not free. But they were thinking about, man, it'd be good to eat some of that food again. Let's go back over there now. Oh, look, melons. I love melons. Cucumbers, I love cucumbers. And the leeks, I cook with leeks and onions all the time. And garlic is always in my kitchen. So this passage I like. But would this be worth me going back to where I came from? Ding, phone rings, old friend. Hey, the rabble, come on, man, what's up? Why don't you come down and see us? I'm a Christian now, man. My authority is God, and I want to serve God in the Word. I don't want to do what I used to do. I don't want to go back into the slavery of sin just because there's some good meat and some garlic and some cucumbers and some onions. I know where that stuff is. I'm going to be satisfied with what God feeds me right now. Good preaching from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know, it burns in your heart. They didn't eat free in Egypt. It was at a price. You can choose to serve the devil, and it's going to be a price for you. You are going to pay. You may not pay here on earth. A lot of people get by with just living it up, living like the devil, and they do fine all their life, but one day they'll stand before God. You and I will all stand before God. And we'll hear one of two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come in to the place I prepared for you before the foundations of the earth, or depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Two things. And you certainly don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, you who practice sin. Jesus will say, depart from me, you practice sin while you're on earth. You're not of mine. And that's so-called Christians saying that. He's talking about people that have professed his name. That'll make you work your salvation out through fear and trembling every day. When we fall short, man, and we will. We will fall short as Christians, but man, your desire is to please God and keep His commandments. But now our appetite is gone. Oh my. They're complaining. There is nothing at all to look except this manna. What's wrong with that? It was made by God Himself. They were thinking about how boring it was to eat manna compared to the spicy food of Egypt. Wait a minute. That was prepared by God Himself. All the nutrients were in there. It may not have been different each day. It may have been the same. Yeah, it was a little more boring than the other stuff they were doing. But think about what God was doing. He was preparing them in the short term to get them to the promised land where they could grow anything they wanted to grow. Just hold on, y'all. I want to say that. Just hold on. Eat the manna. Be satisfied. Don't complain. It's not going to last. You're going to get some good food later on. And you may be in that position. You may be in that transition from Egypt to the promised land. You may be in between. Amen. And if you've got to eat manna, be thankful for it. It won't be long. Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. That's encouraging. We're all in transition somehow. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter who you are. Whether you live in a mansion or in the ghetto, you're still in transition. It don't matter who you are. If somebody's honest, they're hopefully going to where they need to be, and they're not where they used to be. And you may be in that manna part of your life, and it may not be exactly what you want. It may not be that spicy food, but God has opened the gate from the bondage of sin and slavery, and He's brought you out. He's feeding you, and He has a pillar of fire out there, and He's going to guide you. But we can't complain about where we are. If you ever meet a complainer, Numbers 11, man. You remember Numbers 11. Hey, can I encourage you to go to Numbers 11? I heard you're just complaining about everything. It's driving me crazy. Numbers 11, please. You know, just be encouraged with it. And as we close, now the manna was like coriander seed and the appearance like that of pale yellow. The people would go about and gather it, and they grind it into two millstones. See, they could make some other stuff out of it. They could make and beat it into mortar. They could boil it. They could make cakes out of it. It tastes like tasty cakes baked with oil. It's good stuff. So when the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. You know, I don't know where you are in your life. We're all someplace, aren't we? But I hope that this will help you, one, knowing that where God has brought us from and where He's taken us to and what He's done for us spiritually through His Son, Christ. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He has given us all good spiritual things that one day, if you're a Christian, you'll inherit everything. You'll be co-heirs with Christ. Can you imagine that opportunity to live with Christ for eternity and to be like Him for eternity? Man, if you're having a bad day and the man is just getting old, just tired of manna. Know that where you came from is not where you're going to be. And you may have to eat some manna, but God has prepared that for His children. And learn. This is a learning lesson for us. When you catch yourself complaining, go, sorry, sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me for complaining. My natural man wants to complain because I got a lot of stuff going on. But you have taken care of me. Maybe it's not exactly how I would want to be taken care of. But you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you take care of the sparrows. And I'm more important than the sparrows. And I'm in transition. And I'm going to wait on you. And I'm not going to complain. I'm going to encourage others not to complain. Because we have so much to be thankful for. Even when we have a flat tire. And there's going to be some flat tires in life, for sure. So the people complain. Moses prayed. And God's working it out. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for Numbers 11. Wow. Out of the Old Testament, such good preaching and teaching from that. Lots more to say. But I pray that this would help everyone listening, that they would be more transformed by it, they would be encouraged by it, they would be convicted by it, and most of all, they would be conformed into the image of Christ because of your word today. Thank you for allowing me to teach it. I pray that I preached it with accuracy and with precision, with boldness and confidence, with gentleness and respect. And I pray that if there's anyone listening to this message, that this word has pricked their heart to come to you in repentance. To come to you with brokenness over sin, saying, Lord, I repent of my sin. I put my faith in your Son. I want to be born again. So, Father, I pray that that's happening. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.